I'm going to have you open to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at certain gifts that Jesus Christ gives to us. And I want you to smile a little bit first. I promise they won't be bad. I can't help it. I got to get it out of my system. Okay. It's that time of year, right? And you turn. Judy's been doing a lot of Christmas shopping. I've done Christmas. I looked at her and I said, you know, I'm almost completely done with for you this year. And she's going, you never finish before Christmas Eve. Okay, and so, you know, you have to, you budget things, you do things with this. And so I thought this was kind of cute. And it says, a Sunday school teacher was trying to teach your class about the difference between right and wrong. And she said, all right, children, let's take another example. She said, if I were to get into a man's pocket and take his billfold with all his money, what would I be? And what answer was she looking for? A thief, right? Little Johnny raises his hand with a confident smile and blurts out, you'd be his wife. So, I'm sorry, that's just the way that goes at Christmas time. Okay. I've had to deal with some people who didn't believe. I've been giving out Christmas invitations to the play. Okay. The reason there wasn't a lot of them is I grabbed a stack like this. I'm down to about three or four left. Okay. So, I'm inviting people to come to this, and you hear people, I don't even believe in God. All right. And so, you know something? My father told me a long time ago, and he mentioned it to me afterwards, and he says, I understand now when I led my dad to the Lord, and he says, he used to say there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole, right? They're all going to cry out to God. I don't believe in God. Oh, God help me, right? Okay. An atheist was spending a quiet day fishing when suddenly his boat was attacked by the Loch Ness Monster. In one easy flip, the beast tossed him and his boat high into the air, then it opened its mouth to swallow both. As the man sailed head over heels, he cried out, oh my God, help me. At once, the ferocious attack scene froze in place. And as the atheist hung in midair, not moving, a booming voice came down from the clouds. I thought you didn't believe in me. Come on, God, give me a break, the man pleaded. 2 minutes ago, I didn't believe in the Loch Ness Monster. Okay. They weren't as funny for you as they were for me, so I failed tonight. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. Aren't you glad? I failed tonight, but aren't you glad that we just sang a song that says what? Jesus never fails. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the what? Gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave what? Gifts to men. Okay, so tonight I want you to think about, it's a message I preached quite a few years ago on a Wednesday night about Christ's gifts to us. Because this is the season of having gifts. I think there'll probably be some pretty wrapped boxes in the Christmas play that are not real gifts, okay? You understand how they work sometimes? If you were to see a box and it had your name on it and it had your excitement and your attitude was, that's for me, and it looks great, and then you open it up and it's empty, the anticipation you once felt would then be what? Disappointment. And then start questioning why that could happen. Now, you hear it over and over again from us in this pulpit. God is always, and God is always. We don't always have to understand. The premise is God is always good. Okay? So God would never give us something. Our Savior would never give us something that wasn't good for us. You with me? Okay. I want you to turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we start at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth what? The context of that, we're going to read down through verse 15. The context is the thief. It's a picture of Satan working in your life, the unclean spirits working in your life. The thief has come, but what? Verse 10, the thief has come not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it how? More abundantly, abundant life. Abundant life is not found in the things you possess, because if it was, why would people not be happy once they had so many things? You know what they want? More. They want more because the accumulation of things never satisfies. I have at home a beautiful electric golf cart. You paid for that for me. Do you know that? I put a lift kit underneath it, and I raised it up so I can drive it out to hunt, and there's no stink from the gas or the oil or anything like that, and I can get out there quietly and sort of surprise the deer more, because I loved to hunt. Well, then it got muddy. You know what I had to have? Chains for my golf cart. You know what I've been shopping for or looking at for the last 3 months? Because I can't drive my golf cart all the places I want to go. A winch. Because I've gotten stuck 4 times with my golf cart. And my grandson here, and I go, and who's the heavy one who's got to get off the golf cart and push it in the mud? Not them. So you know what I want? I just want something to make it just what? A little better. And then I'd be satisfied. And I've already bought the camouflage material to put on it so it disappears more in the woods. So it'll be just what? He said hard for you to find it. Is we want something more. Okay? What is the most that a person can give to show their love to someone else? No greater love hath a man than this, but that he lay down his life for his friends. It's in the Gospel of John. Romans 5:8 tells us, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were what? Sinners! Christ died for us. Okay? The context is the thief is going to take from you. The good shepherd's going to give not only to you, but for you. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father, and I what? Because he is demonstrating the perfect love of God. You know what the first thing Jesus gives us? He gave his life for me. Not just his time, not just his money, not just his home. He gave the ultimate gift. God says it's the ultimate gift. No greater love can a man have than this. Give his life for his friends. And then God gives love What? Beyond that, when you are not his friend, when you are part of the enemies of Christ, he giveth his life for the sheep. You know, all it takes to become go from a goat to a sheep? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, go to John chapter 14. John 14. He giveth his life for the sheep. Secondly, let's start at verse 19. Yet a little while in the world. Let me see if I got that right. Yeah. John 14, verse 19. Let a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father. See how that ties back to what was just said in John 10? The Father and him and the Father. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So when you don't obey the Father, you don't obey Christ. Children, when you don't obey your parents, are you loving them? No, because love's an action. So don't say you love them when you don't obey them. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man what? He will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. The word which ye hear is not mine, but what? The Father's, which sent me. He's making something clear, isn't he? These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I... Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What does the world clamor for and what they want? Why do they have the United Nations down in New York City? It's to bring about what? World peace. And it's become a political arm to attack Israel. The vast majority of it, the only thing that's protected Israel from having major issues continue happening to them through the United Nations is because America is on the main council and says, no, that's not happening. And when we get weak, what happens? Resolutions come through. I'm not talking about Israel, but what I want you to understand is the world will offer you peace, and you know what it always is? It's conditioned. It's conditional peace. When Rodney King caused all that problems out in Los Angeles, the stuff happened that you, some of you don't even remember him. You were too young. You didn't remember when it happened. He says, can't we all get along? Well, no, they couldn't. They couldn't. There's no peace there. Because it's conditioned on you pleasing me so then I withhold mistreatment or actions towards you. I watched an interview last night. I don't sleep well. I've told you that before. Pain keeps me awake. Different things happen. I was watching this interview. It was on YouTube, and it was of the man who just got acquitted for protecting people on the subway. And he was being interviewed by Judge Jeanine. And there's a whole thing that'll be on Fox, one of these things. They showed part of it. And he said, I didn't want any of this. He said, I saw a man who was acting aggressive and threatening, and he was shoving people. And he said, I'm going to kill you. And people were afraid of him. And there were a woman and a child, and he threatened them, and he got aggressive. So what did the guy do? He come from behind him. It wasn't him. He could have stayed out of it. He was a Marine. You know those Marines? You know how they are. Right, Mike? Once a Marine, always a Marine. Semper Fidelis, always faithful. Going to do this, right? He grabs the guy and takes him from behind the back and puts him in a chokehold and takes him down. He's a white Marine. It was a black. It had nothing to do with the color of his skin. It had to do with a man who had 47 other times he'd been arrested and had been released because he was mentally ill. Are you hearing me? He was mentally ill. He was high on K4, whatever it is, a synthetic marijuana that causes aggression, different than even natural marijuana, which just makes you hungry. He was aggressive. He was threatening. He was shoving people, and he said, "Somebody's going to die tonight." And he took him down. Then another black man and a Hispanic man helped hold him down until the police came. The guy had sickle cell anemia, which had weakened his body, that exacerbated it by the K4 that he had taken. He died. The police refused to charge him. But someone down there, Alvin Bragg, one of the head attorneys for the city, 5 months later brought charges against him and they were going to put him away. But they couldn't find him guilty. And his last, so they couldn't find him guilty of manslaughter, so they tried to make it, what? Manslaughter by accident. Negligent manslaughter. Not conditional on purpose. And the jury was out for less than 2 hours and came back not guilty. On that jury were blacks and whites and Hispanics. Right now, Black Lives Matter is threatening. They want what? They want people to start doing stuff to those white people who don't belong here. You say, why am I saying that? They want no peace because it's not conditioned on what they want. The woman with the child on the thing was a black woman. They said, he's my hero. And the man says, I don't want this to be political. I don't want any of this. And I was willing to give, this is dragged on for over a year, being hauled in court. Because I chose to do what? He was just trying to protect and make it so peaceful people could have a peaceful ride. You say, how does that apply to this? I want you to understand something. When you think you have peace with one person, you normally have what? Conflict with a... Because it's conditioned upon the circumstances and how you view it. Yes? Now, Jesus said, after the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, I'll send my Father, will, but the Comforter, okay, verse 28, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I what? And my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be what? Neither let it be afraid. That is a peace that's not conditioned upon circumstances or other people's reaction. It's a peace that comes from accepting love inside. Do you get what I'm saying? That's what he gives us. The Father's love, Jesus' love, is an accepting love that brings peace. How many ever made bad choices because you're upset? How many ever made bad choices because you're angry? How many ever made bad choices because you felt resentful towards somebody for the way they treated you? What stole your peace? My peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Psalm 27:10, amen. He gives peace to his people. And the only time you can have that peace is when you look to him in that peace. Judy and I are going through things. She's going through it physically. And I'm going through it because I can't fix it. And I'm a fixer. And a corrector. And an overcomer. And I can't. She has a peace about that that's helping me be able to accept his peace in it. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Thirdly, John 17. I hope my illustration didn't seem off the wall to you. I want you to see that the world will steal your peace because one person thinking it's great and they have peace with you causes someone else to have issues with you. Jesus doesn't have that problem. It's his peace he gives to you. For he hath made him to be sin for you, who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. John 17, starting at verse 12. While I was yet, yes, I've got the right place. While I was yet with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. This is the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. Those that thou gavest me have I kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. That is Judas Iscariot. That's a different message because that is the Antichrist incarnate. If you don't believe me, study it out. Okay? Because he went to his own place. That's a different message. And I lost my place. Let me see where I was. Verse 13. And now I come to thee, and these things speak I in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled where? So he's trying to give him what? I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou wouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what? Truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, he sets himself apart, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through what? And where'd they get their word? That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You know what he gives them? He gives them his word. It follows from him giving peace, because great peace have they that love thy law, his word, and nothing shall offend them. He gives his word to his disciples. You know why the lost can't accept sometimes and you give them scripture verses? Because they don't know Him. They don't know that it's God's Word. If I had a dime for every time I had someone say, well, that's just your interpretation, when I quoted a scripture verse to them, well, that's your interpretation. No. I didn't interpret it. The only way I might have interpreted it was by the inflection of my voice. Because you put emphasis on certain things, don't you? Okay. But I just gave them God's Word. And they rejected what? His Word. So He gives it, His Word, to the disciples so that it changes them inside. Therefore, if any man be in, he is a... Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Because His Word transforms me when I put His Word in me. Then the world, and if you don't put it in, you're left doing it in your own strength. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not. Then someone sees a change in me, sees a difference in me, and they go, what's different about you? Because what I'm doing now gives opportunity for them to see that there's something different. And the difference is God's Word. So He gives it to us. For us to give it to others, and they won't hear it until they see us is different than them. There was times when I was afraid of my dad growing up. I never thought, because you got to realize I was bigger than him when I was 11. But he was a Marine. And once a... Right, Lareth? Okay. Always a Marine. So my father, I loved him and he loved me, but man, I didn't like it when he was upset at me. Okay, he made me nervous. You can't get away from that. All right? And he'd say to me, boy, I thought that for a while, I thought that was my name. Boy, what you're doing speaks louder than what you're saying. It's another way to say actions speak louder than. He gives His Word that it might transform us. They can see the difference. Then we can give Him His Word that it might transform them. That it makes a difference and someone else sees it. So then they can give Him the Word, which transforms them, so someone else can see it. Do you get it? If this sits there, and it's not here, it will not be here, and will not come out here. He gives us His Word. And it's 8:30. So I have, even though I had chose a different message for next Wednesday night, I have another Wednesday night before Judy and I leave. And we will continue with God's gifts to us. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.